and make it your theme for the year. Sing it over and over and over again until you don't need the book, and that when you're about your everyday life, that little chorus will be going over in your mind.
This good light of mine, I will let it shine. This good light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I hear the lamp will show now, I'm gonna let it shine. I hear the lamp will show now, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out, I'm gonna let it shine. Won't let Satan blow it out, I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine.
Thank you. Well, in all my waiting and anticipation to come here, and we're in our last session, I hope that in some way it's been encouraging for you. And that it will be only the beginning of a study for yourself on this subject. Now, having said that, I'm going to just read through a few things that will help you, both as an individual and also as an assembly. When Paul said, I am ready, that's a pretty big word, and we need to look at what ready means. I am an avid physical fisherman. I love to go fishing. And oftentimes if someone calls you up and wants to go fishing, are you ready? Yeah, I'm ready. And then you find out you're not ready. And even when you get to where you're fishing, you find out that you've forgotten things. So it takes some organization to get ready. And this is some things that I would encourage. Preparation by memory work. Everywhere you go, you cannot carry your Bible, but you need the Word of God there to be able to answer questions. I would encourage you to get a partner and encourage one another. Pick a few verses and come back and forth and say them to each other. Someone who can encourage you along the way. Select verses that are pertinent to the gospel. But you also need to select verses that will encourage you and help you understand about fear and overcoming fear. now we're going to be doing some of this in our next session. But how many here, I just want to, again, observation. How many here have never written out your testimony? How many have not written out your testimony? Sit down and written out your testimony. Okay, a good few, a lot. I want to encourage you to do that. Now, you should have a short testimony ready, and then you can have a longer version of it as well. But oftentimes you meet people and you only have 2 or 3 minutes, maybe less, to share with them. Organize your testimony in such a way that you can... by the way, there should be 3 parts to your testimony. If you study Paul's testimonies in the book of Acts, you'll see that he talked about life before he was saved, what exactly happened the moment he got saved, and then his life after he's saved. So try to develop and write out a 3-minute testimony. Write it out and read it just back to yourself and say, well, that's 3 minutes, that's 5 minutes, or whatever. You may have opportunities to share your testimony longer, and you can do that. But you should have your testimony prepared. People can deny the scriptures, they can deny many things, but they cannot deny the changes that Jesus Christ has made in a person's life. I can stand here and tell you that before I was saved, I was an alcoholic. And I always said I knew I could quit drinking because I'd done it 100 times already. Well, that just proves that you can't, right? But when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and it came time to put the bottle away, I've never had a sip since. Praise God for the grace and the glory to do that. Give Him the glory. studied through the Gospels each time Jesus witnessed to people. Studied through the account in John chapter 4 of how Jesus talked to the woman at the well. And look for things like this when you study the passage. When this woman met the Lord Jesus Christ, all she observed of Him was, "He's a man. How is it that you, a man, a Jew, speak to me, a woman, who's a Samaritan?" And watch through the the passage how Jesus slowly revealed Himself to that woman, to the point where she would confess who He was. measure and record different responses that people had to the gospel. Don't think that everybody you witness to is going to get saved. You observe whenever Jesus preached, it will say some believed and some did not believe. As the Lord Jesus Christ, with the division between the cross, on the cross, between the man on the right and the man on the left, one dying and going to hell because he mocked the Lord Jesus Christ and there was no repentance, and the man on the other side who took the opportunity to repent and acknowledge Jesus Christ as his Lord and his Savior. Study those things out. I talked to a woman not too long ago in Ireland, and she said, "You and I differ in the fact that you believe Jesus died for all of your sins." She said, "I firmly believe that Jesus died for some of my sins, and I must also atone." She said, "You believe in full atonement, I don't." Now, not very many non-Christians use those type of biblical terms. So I took the woman to the story of Jesus on the cross. And I said, "How is it that this man who was a thief and a murderer, Jesus could say to him, 'Today you will be with me in paradise'?" I said, "Is that full atonement?" And she said, "Yes." So, just observe those things as you read through the Gospels. Get yourself a book. Write things down. study and analyze the Gospel in the book of Romans. You also need to study and analyze repentance. What does repentance mean? That was a twofold message that Jesus sent the disciples out with, was repentance toward God and faith in Christ Jesus. I am a firm believer that without repentance, there's no salvation. People who believe that you can just trust Jesus as your Savior without any concept of sin or without any attitude of forgiveness for sin, I don't believe they have the biblical gospel. If there was salvation without repentance, heaven wouldn't be any different than life here on earth. I'm a firm believer that as an assembly, there should be gospel meetings at least once a year where you can take a few days, maybe over holiday weekend or whatever, Christmas, Easter, whatever it would be, and just focus on the gospel. And for goodness sakes, don't get yourself a teacher to preach the gospel. Get yourself an evangelist. Someone who's focusing 100% on the gospel. Pray for opportunities each morning and then look for opportunities each day. If you're serious about witnessing to people, it may be a wise idea to get yourself a nice little pocket testament, one that you can hide and conceal in your coat easily, and be able to share a verse if asked to. You can also develop door-to-door efforts. And listen, we need not throw our hands up in the air and say, "Well, we know who does that." And yeah, they do it and they have great success. study the book of Acts. Study the book of Acts and see how the early church evangelized. We come into the boat and we want the fish all to jump in the boat. Jesus said, go out, and I believe he meant go out there. That's the disadvantage of having gospel meetings, so we can fall into the routine that if anybody wants to get saved, they can come to the gospel meetings. No, that's not it. In Luke chapter 5, when Jesus told the men to go out in the boat, he said, go out in the boat and let down the nets. Plural. What did they do? They let down the net. And what happened to the net? It broke. The simple illustration there is that there are many ways to fish for men. And we need to be thinking and contemplating different ways. Implement the gospel work and the gospel message into your youth group. Train your youth group and prepare them possibly for overseas missions where you can come in short term to a place like Ireland and help us out in the summertime with a team of four or five people who have prepared themselves to share the gospel with children or whatever. Okay, let's go to session 3. Acts chapter 8 and verse 31, please. The context of the story is Philip is talking to the Ethiopian eunuch. Acts chapter 8 and verse 30. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? And the response is enlightening. And he said, the eunuch said, how can I understand unless someone what? Guides me. And that's where we come in. We have to remember that these people are in darkness and they don't understand. Now, I have heard the testimonies of people who have gone into a hotel to commit suicide, whatever, get out a Gideon Bible, read it and get saved. But they are few and far between, as compared to people who have been led to Jesus Christ. So it's imperative for us to understand that there's just a basic ignorance of that there. I always find it interesting. Before I was saved, there's things that it just blows over your head. Salvation is free. How come it's free? Well, if it's free, what do I got to do to get it? If you hand me a free pen, I reach out my hand and I get the pen. With the gospel, how do I receive Jesus? All of those questions are there. Just ignorance. Most of the time, we are defeated before we start because we start out with a bad attitude and we believe that the person that we want to talk to doesn't want to talk about the Lord. I had a friend recently. I've been friends with this man for a lot of years. 50 years. Well, 45 years. And I asked him the other day, would you give me an opportunity to talk to you once about Jesus Christ? He said, yeah, no problem. And so we sat down, and that's what we talked about, Jesus. I didn't want to talk to him about religion. I just wanted to talk about Jesus. And I faced him with a number of questions. Was there ever a man on this planet by the name of Jesus Christ? Well, if there was, who was he? And we talked for nearly an hour about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said to my friend, I said, listen, I'm not going to approach you again about this subject. I'm thankful for what you've allowed me to do. And he said, well, I've got more questions I need answered. That's praise God. Praise God. And on that, just a little tip when you're witnessing to people, don't overfeed them. I was working at Camp Lailolai, and there was a little boy fishing. And he got some bread, and he put it on the hook and put it in the pond. Well, what happens to bread when it's in water? And the fish would come up, and they'd suck the bread off the hook. And I come over, seeing the little guy was getting frustrated. And I said to him, "How are you doing?" And he said, "I'm not getting anything." He said, "Mister, these fish has been fished so much, you just can't catch them." I think that's the average American. That's the average Canadian. And there are still places in the world that have never heard the gospel. But don't assume that everybody's running from it. By the way, we rolled over a stone, we got a worm, and the little guy got his fish. this man was just ignorant, and it's interesting that Philip could take the Old Testament and tell him about Jesus. There's a lesson there for us. Familiarize yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament, and be able to explain the gospel from there. ignorance, fear. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21 and verse 8, we'll read back a verse or two for connection. Verse 7, it says, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly," or the fearful, "the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, if you and I were writing out that list, what would we put at the top of the list? Probably murder. But it's interesting that the Holy Spirit puts at the top of the list people who are outside of heaven and will never get in are people who have been fearful. Now, I'm going through these things because when you have an ongoing testimony with people and you speak the truth with them a number of times, you're going to have to discern somewhere along the line what is keeping them from trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior. I got a phone call one day. We were living up in northern Ontario. I was asked to go to a mining town, and there was a man at this mining town who had lost his job. His wife had left him. And I was asked to go and talk to him about the Lord Jesus. I mean, talk about cold turkey. What am I going to do here? Oh, KFC. Went to KFC. Bought two chicken dinners, went and rapped on a stranger's door and said, "Hi, my name is Garnet Cooney. So-and-so asked me to come and visit you. Would you like to share dinner with me?" "Yeah," he said, "come on in." Went in, sat down, we shared dinner, and I shared the Lord Jesus Christ with him, and I asked him this question. I said, "Is there any reason why you couldn't trust Jesus as your Savior today?" No answer. I said, "Well, listen, that's fine. You have my phone number. If you'd ever like me to come and visit again, you call me." Now, I never met that man for about 10, 15 years after that. I went into my friend's home, who was born again Christian, and there was this man standing there. I only seen him once, and he said to me, "Do you remember me?" And I said, "No, I'm sorry, I don't remember yet." He said, "Well, you came to my house in Kirkland Lake with KFC, and we had dinner together." He said, "A week or so after you left," he said, "I was hitchhiking, and I got in," and he said, "the guy started talking to me about Jesus. And when I was ready to get out, he asked me a question. He said, 'Is there any reason why you couldn't trust Jesus Christ as your Savior today?'" And he said, I knew this was God. and he had gotten saved. Helping people overcome fear. I was up in Moose Factory. I'm working among Native Indian people. And I led a man to the Lord on a Tuesday. And a month later, I was back up in the same town because we were building a church and I was drawing blueprints and organizing material. And I had opportunity to visit with this man's wife in the presence of two other people. And as I went through the gospel with her, I said, "Mary, is there any reason why you couldn't trust Jesus as your Savior tonight?" And she started to cry and she said, "Garnet, my heart is stone. I have no emotions." I said, "Just a minute, Mary." We went to the book of Ezekiel. God said, "I will take away what? And give you a heart of flesh." She never said anything. She got off her knees, got off the chair, got down on her knees, and she started to pray and creep and poured her heart out to God. She got up, picked a phone off the wall. She phoned up the ladies at the hospital that had been witnessing to her for years. And she said into the phone, she said, "There's a newborn tonight." And they wanted to know who had the baby. And she's saying, "No, no, stupid, I just got born again." Praise God. Just having the scripture on hand to help people overcome whatever the hindrance may be. In Hebrews 2:3, how shall we escape if we neglect? Some people just neglect. Do you have a problem with neglecting? I do. The door needs something, or the window needs something, and tomorrow. And we neglect. People neglect the same thing with their salvation and their relationship with God. What I'd like to do for the last half hour is for you to go into your groups again. Now, what I'd like you to do is for everyone in your group to have opportunity to share your testimony. So, you don't, like, we've got 30 minutes left, so if there's 10 of you in the group, you have to divide the 30 by 10 and take 2 or 3 minutes and share your testimony. Don't use all the time for just one testimony. So divide into your groups and just tell people what your life was like before you got saved, where you were, what scripture spoke to you about salvation, and then share how your life has changed since you've become a Christian. So you can just carry on with that for the next half hour, please.
Really? He was in the afternoon. Except for the I was on a ladder the other day and I should do
I have to tell you something. see.
I know, the Lord told me to move before.
So ever since that day, I'm on chapter 5.
And I don't know, 20 years, that's how we met Tom and Shirley.
For some reason, he's generally,
thank the Lord for what he's done.
Just probably 7, 8, 9, 10.
So then go over and say something happens,
we're going to be done now. Can I get everyone's attention, please? I'll just get you to all go back to your seats for a few moments. Okay, that's good, because that means you'll do this kind of thing again. I just wanted to do a little survey. How many felt very apprehensive when this all started, or even before it started, when you knew it was going to? How many were good? Two were honest, three. it can be intimidating speaking out vocally. There's a principle that is found in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2. When you read the 21st chapter of John's Gospel, we see how Peter is reconciled to the Lord again. And when you come to Acts chapter 1, it's interesting, Peter is the one who stands up among his own and says, we need to have another apostle. And then in Acts chapter 2, Peter's not standing up among his own. He's standing out there facing the wolves. And he preaches the gospel and 3,000 people are saved. So this is a good place to begin. If you found it difficult to do that today, I would encourage you to do it more often, not necessarily as a church group, but you might choose to do that as well. But at least when you gather together, get two or three families together and start again by sharing your testimony and sharing what the Lord is doing in your life. Get used to listening to yourself talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. How many have been encouraged today? That you feel that this is something you need. That's great. Now, we said there'd be a little question-answer time. So I'm going to open it up for questions. If anybody has any questions on the subject of witnessing and evangelism, I will try to answer your questions. Tim?
Our session last time, Dominique was playing the role of a Hindu who is one... believes that the conscience that drives them to do good things is from God. That's their belief system, that their conscience is God's leading. And that, two, they are able to atone for their own sins. What would you say to someone who is not convicted by their sins, and what bad things they do, they attribute to God's consciousness in them, and then they say that through karma, I can atone for these my own sins that I may have as God's leading anyway in my life.
Yeah. I heard that question raised, and I remember an answer that Jabe Nicholson gave. A biblical view of sin and of good and bad, for instance, Jesus said to love your enemy. He said to turn the other cheek. Now, most people would agree that that's above normal, but it's not. That's the average Christian life. So if you think of a line And this being the average Christian line, we'll put sin below the line. Anything I do is a negative. It's a minus one, a minus three, or whatever, but it's a negative. And the problem for trying to atone for my own sin is that I accumulate all these negatives, but I can never have a positive. Because the best that I can do is just zero. And I haven't heard a better answer than that. The question for the average person, if you're not in another religion, is I was asked by someone in Ireland, and you know the national religion there, and the question came up about atonement. I said to the woman, if you can atone for some of your sin, why can't you atone for all of them? And at that point, the discussion was over. That lady, by the way, her daughter is married to a pastor in America. So she has Christian influence. But has that helped her? Whatever. We have to come back to the person of Jesus. That's what I try to do. Everything else is a red herring. And you just come back. If you study in John chapter 4 of Jesus dealing with the woman at the well, she asked the question, where's the right place to worship God? Here or in Jerusalem? And Jesus just ignores it and he goes ahead with his presentation of who he is. Now, I like to raise the person of Jesus Christ. I like to keep the subject as much as possible centered on him. I sat and listened to my neighbor one evening, a very intelligent man. He raised many questions that I didn't know. There were biblical answers, but he was not willing to accept them. But at the end of the night, I said to my friend, Joe, you've asked me questions all night. Is it fair that I asked you three questions? Oh yeah, I said, of course. Was there ever a man on planet Earth named Jesus Christ? And was there any connection with you, with him, when he died on the cross? And will you one day meet him? I said, I don't even want to know the answers, but I hope that you will answer those questions for yourself. And that brings it back to me and face to face with Jesus. Are there any other questions? If not, we'll just close in prayer.
Jordan, could I say something when he was asking that question, thing that came to my mind if I was to answer that question? I would ask him, are you ready to die for your sins? Are you ready to shed blood for your sins? The Bible says that blood has to be shed for my behalf. And the only one that's done that is Christ dying on the cross. That would satisfy God. And that's why you can't do enough atoning to do that.
Right.
That's the answer that I would give to that person if it was to ask that.
Yeah. And again, sooner or later we go back to the scriptures. There's an excellent CD out, The Uniqueness of Christianity. And the simple uniqueness of Christianity is that Christianity tells the story of my substitute. No other religion in the world has that. A substitute for sinners. And it makes Christianity unique, and as far as I'm concerned, it's the best story. It's the best story. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for our time together. We thank you, Father, for each one who's here. It's been a long day. And Father, we just thank you for the patience shown by each one, the involvement of each one, Father. And we just pray that this little session together today, Father, would be a stimulant and an encouragement to your children to learn and love the Lord Jesus Christ more and to share him with other people. We just commit ourselves to you. We ask for safety as we travel many miles. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.